Welcome back to Marketing Like Jesus, the show that helps thought leaders and entrepreneurs learn how to change the world for good by applying God-centered business principles and strategies. For those of you that are here for the first time, I'm your host, Darren Scheer, author of the book Marketing Like Jesus and founder of Highbridge Books. If you're an entrepreneurial thought leader looking for great ways to spread your ideas and generate income at the same time, I encourage you to sign up for our next free author webinar at highbridgebooks.com. This week, we're joined by Amos Johnson Jr. Amos is the author of Take Control of Your Financial Destiny, 9 Christian Entrepreneurship Principles to Developing a God-Inspired Business. And get this, Amos is a PhD in electrical engineering, which he got from the Georgia Institute of Technology. Today, he runs a successful web technology consulting business for small businesses and nonprofits. And I've been getting to know Amos over the past couple of weeks. He's become a friend, and I can tell you that he shares my passion and your passion for bringing God into the marketplace. And so he started up the God Idea Lab, which is a business incubator. And so during the process of helping people to start profitable businesses, he's also discipling, and he's sharing business insights from the Bible. And as you know, that's what we're all about here on the Marketing Like Jesus podcast. And to kind of support that, he started the Church for Entrepreneurs podcast, which teaches entrepreneurs the Word of God to grow their faith. And he strongly believes that prosperity comes through faith in business. Welcome to the Marketing Like Jesus podcast, Amos.
Hey, thanks for having me on, Darren.
Absolutely. So I just read a short bio, but please tell us a bit more about yourself and your business.
Let's start with me. So I'm currently right now, I'm 41 years old, been married for almost 10 years now. I have 2 little girls, a 5-year-old and an almost 2-year-old. I've started, get into business probably back in 2005 or so. And I think my first thing I did was I tried to, not the first thing I ever did in business, but the first thing I made, let's start counting, is I wrote a textbook for high school students. I wrote this textbook to teach high school students how to do computer graphics. And so I went about the hard task of trying to convince the state of Georgia and school systems to adopt this as an actual textbook. Mm-hmm. Yeah, right. So that experience did actually produce the results I wanted, but it was a great experience mm-hmm. really to get into business, and it caused me to launch one of my first successful project was a publishing company, kind of similar to what you're doing, Darian, back in 2006. And then from there, I just started a series of various different types of businesses, really to just learn how to be mm-hmm. in business. And then around 2009 or so, God called me through me going to ministry school in 2009. He called me to really help Christian entrepreneurs develop the business that he's placed in their heart. And so since about 2010, that's been my pursuit to really help Christian entrepreneurs do the thing that God has placed in their heart to do.
Beautiful. Well, Amos, many Christians, they think that you have to be employed by a church to be considered a minister. Do mm-hmm. you view your work in business as full-time ministry?
I've had that debate myself over the years about what is this thing that I'm called to do. So what I've started to do is I've kind of broken down the distinction a little bit, because when we say ministry, we think of ministry as the traditional pastor, teacher, evangelist. And then I look at business as, you know, it's a calling, right? Uh-huh. And I look at ministry as a specific type of calling. I mean, when you're a minister, you're a servant of God, and traditionally we use that word minister to somebody who specifically called into the fivefold ministry. But what I look at business is God has specifically called you out to go out into the marketplace. And so I see your calling into business on the same level as somebody's calling into a full-time ministry occupation. And sometimes God calls people into both a ministry occupation and a business occupation. So I do kind of make a distinction between the fivefold ministry and business, but I see it all as one calling from God, and no calling is higher than another calling.
Right. Do you believe that there are representatives of the fivefold ministry in the marketplace that are not employed by a church or a quote unquote ministry?
Oh, definitely. I think businesses themselves can function like in an evangelistic role, a pastoral role, definitely a teaching role. You know, like if I look at like Dave Ramsey, right? I think Dave Ramsey is like a perfect example, like a teaching ministry, right? So even though he's not ministering Jesus per se, but he's teaching a very biblical principle to the world on debt and finances, and he's using scripture to support some of the stuff, and he's using pure biblical principles to do it. I think there's some businesses that are evangelistic in their gut in some sense, right? Mm-hmm. You know, so even though they may be selling like widgets, but at the heart of that business can go into places where churches can't, and they become an evangelistic force in those areas.
Right. Well, Amos, tell us about a specific time in business when you faced an obstacle to your faith in God, and how did you overcome it?
I was thinking about that question. And I don't know if I have a very specific instance, but what I usually face is a financial faith walk. Mm-hmm. It's like I'm always, you know, I've meet certain financial challenges, right? So I need this amount of money to X, Y, Z, right? And then every single time I've noticed that God has brought the money through my business to actually cover those costs, right? You know, so even literally like this year, right? So like, you know, we had a big expense because my wife's dad passed away recently, and he didn't have any insurance. So we had to spend a lot of money to cover the cost to go to the funeral. First of all, leave where we are and spend money to cover the cost. And so when I was looking at, man, how I'm going to spend all this money to also do that, plus do all this Christmas stuff we want to do, right? Mm-hmm. And so what came through was an unexpected software development contract. And the contract was one of the largest like single one-time contracts I've had in a while. And that one contract has really made the financial burden a lot easier, really erased it actually for this month to actually do whatever I want to do for Christmas for the family and with pretty much without having to worry about finances basically. So I've seen God come through a lot in those areas where I've seen scenarios where he's opened up doors of influence that I could not have planned for. Right. You know, I think to myself, well, there's no amount of marketing could have made that happen. And so, you know, the only thing mean that. And like, it's like one time, one of my former pastors, you know, at a church I went to, he came to me and said, hey, I want you to run an entrepreneurship ministry and just tell me how much you want us to pay you. Right. Mm. And so I gave him a number. He said, sure, let's do it. You know, so the church actually was paying me like, you know, a really decent monthly retainer to run entrepreneurship at their church. Mm-hmm. And I could not have, in my wildest dreams, planned that out, you know, but it occurred. So that's one thing I've learned is like opportunities will come that we can't really even plan for.
Wow. So the obstacle to your faith really was getting those financial, getting in those situations where there's a need for finances and you have a choice of, am I going to trust God or am I going to, am I not going to trust God?
Yeah, exactly. Because especially with the business I have with helping Christians develop their business, you know, because that business, I've not found a way yet to really make that sustainably profitable, right? Mm-hmm. You know, like, so when I do like web consulting and other things, then that was easier models to figure out how to make those things profitable. But in my work with helping Christians develop their business, I sell stuff, I make money, but the money that's generating is still never really covers my entire life, right? So it's like I always kind of say, well, I would love to be able to just drop this web stuff consulting and just do this full time, but I just can't do it yet, right? And so when I start having those feelings of like, will this generate revenue, that's really the challenge of my faith is like, okay, God, you call me to be in this business, you call me to help other Christians develop their business, and even though it's not as profitable as something else I've done, I still got to believe you and trust you that this is the vein that you want me to figure out and walk in.
Right. Well, you know, I think what we're learning is that money follows ministry. And so I think if we always have to know how we're going to, quote, monetize something before we step out and do it when God is telling us we need to do it, then I think we're going to be missing out on a lot of incredible opportunities, not only for, you know, financially speaking, but just acts of obedience to what God is telling us to do and just kind of let him figure out, because this word says that a workman is worthy of his hire. And so if we're working for the Lord, like it says in Colossians 3:23, I mean, that's really on God. to make the provision. And, you know, and so whether it's through sort of a combination, we've had discussions about this, you know, do we, when is the right time to set something up as a nonprofit versus, you know, a for-profit, but, you know, looking at the Apostle Paul, I mean, everything was kind of, blended together as far as his entrepreneurship, tent making, and then his, you know, itinerant, teaching, preaching, evangelism, all of those things that he was doing. I mean, it was, so I think when we can look at our lives as a whole, instead of always having to sort of like fragment ourselves and say, okay, this is ministry and that's, you know, this is what I do to support ministry. I mean, really it's all ministry. And so, well, let me ask you this question. 39 of the 40 miracles recorded in the book of Acts happened in the marketplace. Have you ever seen God work a miracle through your business? And if so, what happened?
You know, this is, I haven't seen the flashy miracles in, in business that you can say, wow, you know, God, you know, that's big and that's big and flashy. Right.
Right.
But I have seen God moves in those subtle nudges of saying, you know, you're in the right direction. Right. And in this 2014 has really been a lot of those subtle nudges I've seen that, that God has kind of worked this thing out or opened up this door of influence. And I think with Christians in business, you know, when you're looking for that big explosive miracle, you may miss what God's actually doing because you're looking for the miraculous, right? But just creating something and selling something and somebody's paying you money for it, you know, that's the anointing flowing through you, right? There's nothing like the feeling of God call you to do something in business and you make it and you sell it. He's like, wow, you know, that's huge. So in terms of the big miracle, in terms of seeing maybe a healing through the healing through these things, what we do, I've done in business, I haven't seen those things, but I've definitely seen God show up in these small ways that is like signposts saying this is the right way to do things. This is the direction to go in.
Yeah, like words of knowledge where you just sense that this is the Lord, you know, this is the way, walk ye in it, you know, and in business, so we have to have that because, I mean, there's a lot of uncertainty. I mean, that's where the rewards happen is when there's risk on the table. But when God can lead us, even when it seems that, you know, I don't know if anybody's really going to be interested in this, or I don't know if anybody's going to kind of show up or pay attention, but just doing it, just doing that ministry and just trusting that God is going to, he's going to open the doors and bring about the blessing that he wants to channel through us. I mean, it's, that's on God to do it.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
But it's miraculous when you sense his voice, when you sense that he's speaking to you in business, and it's different than inside of a church building when, you know, God is speaking to you, but like actually out there in the marketplace doing the day in, day out things that we have to do, and to hear and sense God's presence in that place is an incredible way to go about business.
You know, what I discovered, Darren, is working with entrepreneurs, Christian entrepreneurs, is that when you actually step out into the marketplace and believe God to do something in the marketplace, your faith walk goes to the next level. Because like as an employee, it takes very little faith to follow instructions. You know, most people, once they get that job, they're there for like 5, 10, 15, 20 years sometimes. And you never again really use your faith for provision, for finances, for stretching the vision. So it's kind of like you shut that area of life down. But once you're out in the marketplace, once you're out doing your entrepreneurship calling, every single day you need to be open and listening to the instruction of the Holy Spirit to guide you. So it's almost like your spiritual senses gets exercised in the entrepreneurship walk, right?
Yeah.
And the same way with ministers, right? Their ministers, they've been doing it forever, right? So when they start their own ministry, they got to hear God every day about what to minister, who to reach, who to talk to, who to preach. And so when the entrepreneurs awaken to their calling, they're stepping that same vein where they got to be super connected to God, just like the ministerial side of the house.
Right. And I mean, as entrepreneurs too, I mean, I don't know about you, but I go to my wife and I'm always like, so yeah, I got this new idea. She's like, oh, here we go again, you know? Yeah. And I think as entrepreneurs, like we're constantly coming up with ideas, but what is that God idea? You know, like you talk about the, with the God idea lab. I mean, there's a whole range of different possibilities and opportunities but what is the thing that God would call me to do? And it might not make sense at first, but, you know, over time, God's going to unfold his plan and show us why he sent us in that direction. Mm-hmm. And so that's miraculous power, to be able to have access to the voice of the God of the universe as our counselor, mm-hmm. leading us and guiding us on a daily basis in our business.
Yeah. And a lot of times I find too, is that, you know, part of the reason I think God wants us in business is so that we can personally grow. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like, you know, there's nothing annoying about making, say, toothpaste, right? But there's a lot of growth that comes in you trying to figure out how to do and how to sell it, right? You know, when mm-hmm. God created the earth, he intentionally kind of left the earth undone because he wanted mm-hmm. Adam to step into his creative abilities and learn how to create just like God creates. And so as mm-hmm. entrepreneurs, we're stepping into that flow of creativity that is the heart of God. It is what God is creative. And so through the process of entrepreneurship, we're growing to be like him. And we're exercising that creativity, that flow of the spirit.
That's right. Amos, what's one of your favorite business principles from the Bible, and specifically, how have you applied this in your business?
I'll give you two. The first one is Genesis 30:30, and it's mm-hmm. the story of Jacob and Laban. So just as a quick recap, so Jacob married two of the daughters of Laban. He had to work 14 years for them. And after mm-hmm. 14 years of working for Laban, Jacob realized that Laban's business had increased greatly, but Laban's family's income had not increased. And in Genesis 30:30, he specifically mentions that to Laban. Hey, you know, you've increased greatly, but what about my family? And at mm-hmm. that point, he was ready to quit Laban and move on. But Laban will say, like, hey, I'll pay you anything you want. But Jacob said, hey, you're not going to pay me anything. But what I'll do is I'll take a percentage. And so at that point, Jacob made the transition from employee to entrepreneur, where his work produced for not just the person he's working for, but his family as well. And so what I tell Christian entrepreneurs is that, you know, God has given us the blessing, but the blessing is on the work of our hands, right? But if the work of our hands is in somebody else's business, just like Jacob, that blessing is going to transfer from Jacob to Laban, or that blessing is going to transfer from you to your employer, and your employer is going to become rich, but not you. So if you want the blessing to work in your life, you have to put your hands to the thing that God's called you in your own realm of entrepreneurship. So that scripture and that real whole passage really kind of energized me to really go out and kind of, you know, evangelize his word that God has put something inside of you to do. And it's not just to be an employee.
Mm. Wow. That's powerful, Amos. I love that. I mean, it's not because we're conditioned in our culture. I think there's a shift that's happening toward entrepreneurship out of necessity, because so many of the jobs that have been there are drying up and becoming automated and outsourced and all the rest. But this idea that we should be trading hours for dollars is not working anymore. And it's not making people happy, because, I mean, time is our most valuable asset. But when you can put yourself in a position to experience that compound interest, that exponential growth, where you're working on percentages instead of just trading hours for dollars, I mean, the upside potential of that is exponentially greater than anything we could just do on our own.
Yeah, yeah. And what I like to call it is that when you're working for somebody else, you've limited your prosperity, right? So when you think about your job contract, right, you have said that I'm going to work, let's just pick $70,000. I'm going to work for you for $70,000, and that's all I'm going to get from you. And so you have used your word, and you went into covenant with this employer for a particular rate. And God is a God of covenant. So God is not going to break the covenant that you made, saying that you're only going to make a certain amount of money, right? So when with our covenants or our employee contracts, we've limited the prosperity that we can make because of the covenant we've made for a particular amount. So what we got to do is we got to break those covenants and say, hey, I want unlimited prosperity, God. So I'm not going to limit myself to a paycheck. I want to use, like you said, your skills, your giftings, the anointing to flow and do exactly what you've called me to do. And I'm not going to contract myself for this limited rate, no matter what that number is.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow. So good. Well, I know you said you had two, so go ahead and give us that double portion.
Yeah. So the other one is really what really keeps me going and flowing, what I do is in Psalms 1, right? And it says, blessed is the man that walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, right? And so as Christian entrepreneurs, the word in Proverbs also talks about how with many counselors, plans are established, right? So there's a need for counsel, but we got to have counsel from godly sources. And I don't know about you, but a lot of our information, a lot of times comes from books from secular sources, right? It comes from books written by people that may or may not be Christian, or they may be people who are Christian, but people who have not made Jesus Lord yet, right? So we have to kind of, what do they say, chew the hay and spit out the sticks. I think that's the terminology for these books. So I think there's a need for godly counselors, like for me, like for you, to be out in the marketplace counseling upcoming entrepreneurs on how to be in business God's way. And so so they don't have to fall to that scripture, Psalms 1, where they got to walk in and counsel the ungodly. Or they don't have to join the next internet marketing program or the next high price coaching program from somebody who's not really clearly a Christian person. So they can get a kind of just relax and trust that what this person is teaching you is biblically based and will not only show you how to make money, but it's going to show you how to do it in a godly way without violating any spiritual principles.
Yeah. And there has been a lack of practical business guidance that is being written from a Christian worldview. I mean, there's a, like you said, there's a lot of, there's a lot of great podcasts out there. There's a lot of books that have been written, but I think we should always be asking, what is the worldview of this person? What is the worldview of this author, of this podcast host? And we need to be careful because, I mean, it can be dangerous to just sort of put that trust in somebody to where they say so many things that are accurate, but then there's those couple of things that just go contrary to a biblical worldview, and you just kind of find yourself going right along with it. And I think that's where a lot of our culture has gone. It's not the all of a sudden, you know, just throwing out principles that are just obviously unbiblical. But it's the more subtle approach that gets taken by people that just aren't grounded in the world in the word, because I mean the Bible is, make no mistake, it's countercultural. And so we need to always be asking, what is the worldview of this person that I'm listening to, that I'm getting my business advice from?
And that's really what the challenge for the entrepreneur is, the Christian entrepreneur, is that, I mean, because there are some good stuff, right? Some of the principles these guys and ladies are writing about are good stuff, right? But it's like, it'd be so much better if we could read or listening without trying to wonder, okay, now, is that right or that wrong? But it's like, okay, you know, if Darren wrote this, you know, we believe Darren hears from God and Darren is not going to lead us astray. You know what I'm saying? Like, this is like, if Paul wrote it in the New Testament, we don't question what Paul says, right? But if I read something for Donald Trump, I'm like, I'm not sure. You know what I'm saying? He may or may not be Christian. I don't know what his status is. Can anybody talk about it, right?
right. And yeah, I mean, that's not to say that we need to only listen to people that have a Christian fish on their book cover, or, you know, that only have a prayer of salvation at the end of their podcast or something like that. But I mean, we definitely need to be asking, what is the worldview? And I think, like C.S. Lewis said, he said that we don't need more Christian books. We need more books written by Christians.
Yeah, exactly.
I think it's the same way in business. We don't need more Christian businesses selling Christian books and, you know, things of that nature and Christian t-shirts. But we need more Christians in business that are doing things from that biblical worldview, under the lordship. What do I mean by biblical worldview? Well, under the lordship of Jesus Christ.
Yeah. It's kind of like, it's like a movie, right? So like, I was I won't mention the name of the movie, but it's a new biblical movie out, right? And so one of my friends, she went and saw it, and she put this big warning on Facebook: don't go see this. This is purely humanistic, right? And so, like, I was like, man, I really want to see that movie too, right? So, like, it's like when a movie is made, I want to be able to go and sit and enjoy and watch the movie, knowing that it's not going to violate the word. You know what I'm saying? So, like, if a person is a Christian making movies, I can go and watch the movie without kind of guarding my senses. You know what I'm saying?
Right. Well, Amos, what's one of the most effective marketing strategies you've ever used, and what results did it produce?
My most effective marketing strategy is to treat marketing like dating. So mm-hmm. like I tell people all the time, so like if you're a single person, like say you're a single guy, Darren, say you're single and you walked up to your, let's take your wife, right? Your wife way back when, I don't know what, like 9 years ago, you guys been married or so?
No, not quite. Just a little over two.
A little over two. Okay, let's go back 2.5 years ago, right? Or maybe 3 years ago when you just met her or something, right? And then you walked up to her and said, hey, I don't know her name. Let's call her Julie, right? Hey, Julie, will you marry me? And what she thinks she's going to say?
Probably not.
Probably not, right? Because one, she doesn't know you, right? So she has no clue who you are. You may be her soulmate or a perfect person, right? Whatever. Yeah. But you don't know her. And so what you have to do is, instead of saying, will you marry me? First thing is, hi, my name is Darren. What's your name? You know, mm-hmm. can we talk later? You know, maybe we can meet up somewhere. Let's build a relationship. And then after you build a relationship, then you can say, will you marry me? So I think in business, when I look at my business, I treat my business like a dating relationship. When I have a product and service, I say, do I mm-hmm. have the right to ask this person to marry me or have this person mm-hmm. to buy my stuff? Right. Mm-hmm. And the answer is no, I don't lead with would you buy this thing. I lead with building a relationship. And so my marketing strategy is to lead with giving them some kind of free MP3 audio course on something, right? And mm-hmm. then I build a relationship through my podcast, my blogging, through my Facebook, my social media channels, right? And then mm-hmm. after I build that relationship, then is, will you buy my thing, right?
Right.
And so that's really the marketing concept that I kind of live by and I teach people to live by is treat your marketing like a dating analogy. You know, will you walk up and ask somebody to marry you on the first time you ever saw them? If the answer is no, then don't do it in business either.
Wow. That's great insight. I mean, I think that's what, and I've studied the way Jesus did marketing. I mean, and of course what he was asking people to do was to leave their father and mother. I mean, just basically assume an entirely new identity as one of his followers. But He didn't just come right out and just make that big ask. I mean, there was for example, with Zacchaeus, mm-hmm. he would say, "I'm coming to your house today," you know? And it's like he didn't say, "Zacchaeus, you know, up in the tree, go ahead and just leave everything you've ever known." But no, there was an introduction first, mm-hmm. and then he would ask people to do certain things, and not to mention the he would give a miracle. And I mean, he was constantly giving and giving. You know, with Peter, it was, you know, let me borrow your boat, you know, before he would make that big ask. And so, you know, like Amos is saying, we definitely need to make sure that we're not jumping right for the sale. And there's that statement, always be closing. And I don't think it's a good motto to have, because we need to always be serving, and the closing is going to happen in time, but we don't necessarily need to come right out and always just be trying to close the deal.
Yeah, it's a patience. Through faith and patience, receive the promises.
Right. Besides the Bible, Amos, what's one book that you think every Christian business person should read?
I think the book they should read is this book called "Thou Shall Prosper" by mm-hmm. Rabbi David Lappin. So he's not a Christian guy, but he's close enough. He's Jewish. All right. So
Daniel Lappin, I believe.
Daniel. Okay. Yeah. Daniel Lappin. So his book, Thou Shall Prosper, what it really does is it breaks the, how can I say, it's like some Christians, we have a stronghold where we just, some reason we just don't want to charge enough for our services, or we feel like business is bad, or we feel like business is ungodly, right? Or we feel like business is not a high calling, like say being in a full five-fold ministry or something. And this book really breaks that yoke off of you. So if you take the time to, and it's a long book now, if you take the time to read it or listen to it on Audible, it's really going to break that yoke where you see your calling into business as a noble calling, and it's holy, right? And you will, and once you see it's noble and holy, it opens up the flow of creativity. And you feel good about doing it, because if you feel like business dirty or bad or sleazy, then you're going to kind of always kind of treat it like, well, I'm kind of in business, but I'm really doing this so I can do X. Right. We got to look at business as holy in of itself and a calling from God. and noble. And this book really helped you do that, break that yoke of understanding.
Yeah, and I like how he talks about how dollars are certificates of appreciation.
Yeah.
You know, when somebody pays you money, because you know this when you're coaching entrepreneurs, where they will go out and they will ask all of their friends, you know, would you use this? Would you use my service? Would you use my product? But that's one level of commitment. But to really find out how much value your service or product is worth, you got to wait until they actually hand over the money. That's when you find out how much they really want what you have to offer. And I think it, you know, where it's important to, that's not to say that if you don't have a lot of money, you're not valuable, but when it comes to the marketplace, the services, the amount of money that people are going to compensate us for is going to be in direct proportion to the perceived value of whatever it is that we're offering in the marketplace.
Exactly. And I love, like you say, that certificate of appreciation is huge, right?
I appreciate
this thing you gave me.
It's good. Well, Amos, what's one of the big things you have going on right now?
So I think the biggest thing I got going on right now is probably the Church for Entrepreneurs. So the Church for Entrepreneurs is really an ambitious project I have right now, where Monday through Friday, I am ministering the word with me and my team to entrepreneurs of faith, right? Mm-hmm. So what I discovered is that most entrepreneurs, me included, we wake up early in the morning and we get moving with our day. We check our PDFs, we check our phones, and we kind of miss that time with God. So what I did was I created something that I wanted. And so sometimes the best business, you create something you want, right? I created a 10-minute podcast where every single morning, Monday through Friday, you can wake up and it's there early in the morning. You can put on your headphones, and while you're getting ready for your day, you can listen to 10 minutes of the word and build your faith and grow your understanding of the word. Or you can pop it in your car and listen while you're driving to work. So it's a way to kind of get the word injected in you early in your day, so it can give you something to meditate on and think about all day, so you can grow and build your faith, so you can conquer what God's called you to do on your entrepreneurship journey.
Excellent. And one of the reasons I love your podcast is because you're coming at it from an entrepreneur's perspective, and not necessarily from like a pastor's perspective of an institutional church, but you have that marketplace perspective where you're able to relate with the challenges, the everyday challenges that us entrepreneurs are going through on a daily basis. So definitely recommend folks go ahead and subscribe to the Church for Entrepreneurs podcast and get that daily dose of inspiration from a biblical worldview. And Amos, what's one parting piece of advice that you'd like to share with our listeners, and where can they find you on the internet?
The best place to find me on the internet is, you can probably go to, I guess, GodIdealLab.com will be a good place to find me on the internet. And my one parting advice for people is that when God calls you to do something in business, just start small. Just get started. Don't spend time doing stuff that's not essential to what you got to do. For example, a lot of times when people get started in business, they try to get business cards. They want to get the perfect website, or they want to get the logos or the letterhead. You know, all that stuff is unnecessary when you first get started. Just focus on building some minimal viable product and getting your first customer, and that's it.
Yeah.
And then later, the business cards, the websites, and all the other stuff later. But just focus on getting that first customer and eliminate all the other extraneous stuff.
I love it. Like, I just read a quote by Mark Twain, and he said that the secret to getting ahead is getting started.
Exactly.
And I think that's exactly what you're saying. You know, just put that toe in the water and go ahead and take that first step and see what God does. We don't have to figure it all out. I mean, God will order our steps. Well, Amos, this has been incredible. Thank you so much for coming on and sharing your time and expertise with us. Keep doing great things for God in the marketplace.
Hey, man, I appreciate it being on your show.
That's all for this week. You can comment on this episode and get more information about how to market your ideas in a Christ-like way at DarrenShearer.com. Also, if you're an entrepreneurial thought leader looking for great ways to spread your ideas and generate income at the same time, Don't forget to register for my upcoming webinar, 12 Ways to Sell More Books. You can sign up at highbridgebooks.com/webinar. This free webinar will happen live on January the 8th at 11 a.m. Central Time. Thanks for listening, and keep doing marketing like Jesus.